Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And Tripp Tracy, the voice of the analyst voice, but sometimes voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, joins us. Probably not quite at UBS Arena, but soon, since, my gosh, the game is coming up pretty quickly. Let's get ready for game three, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, AG. Great to hear your voice. At the moment, I'm avoiding sprinklers from Islander fans here in Garden City. yeah, that's to try to paint a picture.
It's beautiful.
That's what I'm doing at this very moment.
All right, what's the biggest thing you are looking for from the start of today's game? When we put it into context of how Carolina came back, there's a lot of ways to look at it. In that there are people who think that the Islanders blew the lead. I look at it as the team that was better for the majority of the game, and when they were better, they were significantly better. The right team won. That was a just result for me. But what are you looking at from the beginning of this game tonight?
First of all, I agree with you that the better team won the game. The Islanders can make an argument that, you know, they deserve game one.
Yeah.
They didn't win. You know, it's a perfect question for you to set the tone in the first period of our hot stove, Adam, because, you know, when you have two full days off between games, if anything, that's going to benefit the Islanders after what happened to them and, you know, a comeback that we'll never forget in Raleigh.
Right.
So that helps. They're going to go to Elias Sorokin. But it brings me to something that I feel very strongly about and how the game has changed. The old cliche, weather the storm.
Yep.
In what's going to be a hostile building, and this is going to be your toughest game to win, one would think, that never works in today's NHL.
Right.
So if you have the ability to do so, the critical element, and when you're trying to build on the momentum, if it is there with this break from the conclusion of game two, you want to get on the attack as soon as possible, right from the get-go. Gone are the days where you ever go in with a mindset of weathering the storm and surviving the first 10 minutes. That's just, if you have that philosophy, it puts you in a position of weakness.
Yeah, because ultimately what you're doing is you're bracing yourself. I use a rope-a-dope term. You're trying to rope-a-dope your way out of trouble. And when you do that, you're just asking for more trouble. Tripp Tracy is joining us here because, honestly, there's almost a fine line. You don't want to overextend yourself. You don't want to open yourself up to problems, but you also don't want to, you know, put yourself in a position where you're reacting to what the Islanders are doing. You want to make them react. To that end, and this goes back to game number two, the way Carolina played over the last really 26, 27 minutes of that game was something that honestly I can't recall seeing in a playoff game. It was as one-sided as I have ever seen it. And I talked to Greg Wyshynski earlier. He says, no, I think we could see that again, but I'm not sure we will see anything like that. What's your takeaway from the last 26, 27 minutes of that?
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. You have a 401k, but you're changing jobs. You're taking that 401k with you. Next step.
Well, a lot of people leave it behind, which is not a good thing. I mean, if you're not at the company anymore, your 401k shouldn't either. And that's when it's time for my 401k survival
box set.
You see it right here. I've got workbooks, guidebooks, DVDs in here that explain everything about your 401k. More importantly, how to build a lifetime income. It's a $300 value. I'm also going to give you a total retirement plan, which is a $1,000 value for the next 18 of you who call right now. No cost or obligation.
Call 888-843-0013 or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
My gut would say we're not going to see it again, but of course I would just absolutely love to be wrong about this. You know, for me, there's probably a little bit more than 26 minutes, but because I'd have to look at what the timing was of the Varlamov penalty at 3-0.
12:33.
That's okay. That's the gift.
Yeah.
Because you've got a goaltender that's playing brilliant. You've got a team that had already had a power play in Carolina earlier in the period. New York had scored on theirs. And our old friend Chuck Hayden always talked about hockey gods.
Yep.
As soon as that happened, I said to myself, ooh, Varlamov should not have done this. The way he's playing,
yep,
and the way this game is going. And, you know, you end up by that particular power play unit. Rod stuck with him. I hadn't liked him very much in the series, especially taking away Gensel in the bumper. All of a sudden, Gensel makes a play off of the Jarvis shot, Teravainen scores. You know, now I'm thinking, okay, this is really possible. Then I start seeing all these posts. Five posts.
Yeah.
Losing Pesci. It's something that I don't know with all those circumstances. The stick-to-itness that Carolina had, the domination. I guess you could say, really, AG, in the third period, and it didn't take long in overtime in game six, he closed out the first round. Carolina, if you went back and looked at the film, they had similar domination in that period in the third.
Right.
It wasn't 26 minutes.
It was just in the Islanders had one shot on goal the last 30 minutes of the game. I mean, in a playoff game, I've just never seen anything like that. You referred, Trip Tracy, to Brett Pesce, who is certainly lost for the series, and it would stand to reason that we might be looking at a long, time with Brett Pesce being away. Do you expect mixing and matching with the defensive combinations to get, even though if they're going to line up with Shea and D'Angelo together, that we'll see a lot of Shea and Orlov and maybe even a fair amount of Shea and Chatfield?
Well, let's start with the fact that, let's not kid ourselves, this is a massive loss.
Yeah.
And so once that's established, you know, Foss is not on the trip. Pesci's a major loss. So when I look at it, Tim Gleason did an excellent job because he had just under half of the hockey game with
yep.
five defensemen. And you look at the minutes at the end of the night and, you know, everybody took on a little bit more. So what I think about is my gut tells me that Tony D'Angelo is going to be solid because he was solid down the stretch.
Yep.
I think there's nowhere to go but up, but in terms of channeling his emotions from past playoff experiences, can he be serviceable defensively and be a difference maker offensively? With that being said, even if he does all those things, which I'm hopeful he will, my gut tells me he will, he's in spot duty, in my opinion. So it seems like just a huge hole to fill when you just think about Pesci's loss. But when you think about the minutes that are available throughout the course of the hockey game for the back end, if everybody takes on a little bit more, it seems very achievable in terms of the four remaining guys. The two specific guys that I think about, of course, is Dmitry Orlov. This has got to be his time.
Yep.
Taking on more of a role on the penalty kill. He drew a penalty on his offside
Did.
In that third period against New York. I think, you and I talked about it, he might be better on his offside. And then Chatfield, that can play either side. Shea, on his offside, keeps a puck in on the Jarvis goal. So even within the context of that third period, I saw some very encouraging things. I think it's going to require all four remaining guys taking on a little bit more in terms of ice time. But specifically, you need Orlov to take a step and be better with more ice time in all situations and or specifically penalty killing in 5-on-5. And then you need Chatfield to do the same.
Yeah. Do you think there's any chance that we see Tony maybe get a little power play time here, especially if you're relying even more on Brady Shea at 5-on-5 and shorthanded?
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medication secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.
That's an excellent question, because last year I know when Shea was taking the big-time offensive steps that he's taken now these last few years, that was a concern for the coaching staff of using him with the man advantage, because they looked at it and were concerned that it took away from everything else he did, five-on-five shorthanded. I haven't seen that same drop-off
right
this year, so I don't have that same level of concern. My expectation would be Shea stays where he's at, but if either that group isn't jiving, which I think they've been excellent in the series and in limited duty, because it's been the other group that's seen the majority of the time, Kuznetsov's power play goal in game one from that group. If you see any type of concerning drop-off, yeah, I don't see, you know, any reason you wouldn't make that switch. The only thing is when you have a lefty in Shea and a righty in D'Angelo, you really have to work the power play off the other side in the attacking zone. It's an adjustment, but it's an option if need be.
All right, final thing for Tripp Tracy here. And I realize it's a small sample size, and Carolina's won each game by 2 goals, so it goes without saying. But if Carolina's top lines, top point producers, as we expect, have the series that they have started so far, and they hold the Islanders, because that's the, you know, a lot of conversations about Sebastian Aho maybe not being as good in game two as he needed to be. And I kept looking at the fact that Matt Barzal and Bo Horvat, other than the shift that Horvat scored, which was not against the Aho line, they had 0 shots on goal. I thought the Aho line was excellent defensively. It didn't generate a ton offensively until late, but I thought that they were really good. And if Carolina's top players are going to outperform the Islanders' top players, that's a tell.
Aho was +2 on the night. He hit 2 posts, 2 of the 5 they hit. You know, so he was really dangerous before. Again, he has another typical history repeats itself, big third period tying goal. So I loved his game. I did not like his game in game one. I didn't like Gensel's game in game one. I thought that, and then along with Jarvis back on that line, I thought they were terrific in game two. And my gut tells me this game, because I think the Islanders are going to be the most physical they have been the entire series. This game should be tailor-made for Andrei Svechnikov.
Yeah.
Carolina's going to win this game. Svechnikov's going to have his best game of the young playoffs. That's what my gut tells me. And I guess the last thing I'd say to your partner is that I found it interesting that Patrick Waugh, now that he gets last change, might have been a smokescreen, but he made it sound like he might continue to play strength on strength, Horvat against the Aho line. On home ice with last change, I would for sure be going with the Pajot line and Pellick and Pollock. I hope he goes Horvat. I mean, if you look at Horvat on Aho's tying goal, center on center. I have no idea why Bo Horvat left him in front of the net. So I loved Aho's game in game two after not liking it much game one.
100%. All right, Tripp, we'll be listening. I'll be watching, and I will be talking to you later.
You got it, AG. Love you.
Thanks, man.
Jake, I'm getting worried. My house hunt's taking longer than expected. We've made so many offers and keep losing out.
You could really use the JAG advantage.
What's the JAG advantage?
The Jim Allen Group, number one real estate team in the state since 1996, with the largest inventory of home sites in the Triangle, 11,000. And they rep more than 65 communities.
The Jim Allen Group? Oh, I get it. The JAG advantage.
Score with the Jim Allen Group at thejagadvantage.com. Equal housing opportunity.